Hi, this is Justin Coletti of Sonic Scoop. Thanks for joining me for this week's episode of the Sonic Scoop podcast. And today, we're going to be talking about treating your career, your work in the studio or in music more like a business. Because when they talk about music business or studio business, each of those phrases have two words and one of them is business. But most of us do not treat our work in the studio, our work on music, like a business. And it's a scary term for a lot of creative people. Business, I was trying to get out of that whole business thing. That's why I went into a creative field. Business sounds scary. It sounds intimidating. It sounds foreign to so many of us in creative fields. I'm not alone in this. And some of the stuff I'm going to be talking about today is stuff that I have to keep on teaching myself. But it's so important because once you start treating what you do more like a business in the studio with your music, it actually gets more fun. That's the totally weird thing. Because when you treat your work like a business, you actually get to avoid doing the parts of your work that you hate the most, and you get to double down on the stuff that you're the best at, and you have the most fun doing, and that's the most rewarding to you. So it's this ironic thing. We think of this term business as being this scary, foreign, foreboding idea that we were getting into creative field to get away from. But when we actually embrace treating our studio work, our music work, like a business, it gets more fun, it gets more rewarding, and here's the weird thing, it gets more creative. So I want to go deep into this topic with you. Real quick before I do, got to give the biggest of shout-outs to, or the briefest of shout-outs, I should say, to our sponsors, which include you. How do you sponsor? Smash that like button if you're on the YouTube version. Remember to hit like and subscribe so you don't miss any more great episodes of the podcast. Also, if you're listening to an audio-only version, Spotify, Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, something like that, consider giving us a 5-star rating and review. If this podcast has helped you, it helps us tremendously if you give us a review on any of those formats. A big thanks also to SoundToys, making some of my favorite creative effects, Focusrite, making great bang for the buck interfaces and some nice high-end ones too, and Steinberg, making killer software. We will talk about all of those a little bit later on, but let's get right into the topic. I'm going to be drawing in this episode from some ideas. If you want to go in an even deeper dive, there's a good book about this general idea called The E-Myth, or The E-Myth Revisited, a guy named Michael Gerber. And one of the bits of framing that he put out there was that most people who run businesses in America, or really in the world, aren't entrepreneurs. This E-Myth is the myth that people are entrepreneurs, and because they're entrepreneurs, they start a business, a studio business, whatever kind of business it is. And he argues, probably correctly, this couldn't be further from the truth. Most people who start businesses, who start small businesses, are like self-employed kind of people who become their own boss. And that's very different. Working in your own business, being an employee for the new boss, you, versus running a business. They're two totally separate things. So what an entrepreneur does and what a self-employed person does and the way they think about the world are totally different. And chances are you, like me, have thought most of your life about the work that you do in a self-employed person kind of way, which is you have a job. You treat this like a job, not like a business that you're running. And you have a boss, possibly one of the worst bosses ever, yourself. Hopefully one of the best bosses ever, yourself. What does it mean to think more entrepreneurial and more like a business? And how is that actually going to make things more creative for you, more fun for you, more profitable for you? That's what this week's episode is all about. And I want to dive straight into some of these principles. The big overarching thing I'm going to tell you is that the difference between an entrepreneur and a self-employed person is an entrepreneur, someone who starts a business, sees a business opportunity, doesn't go in there to create a job for themselves. They recognize a want, a desire that's out there going unfulfilled, and they find new ways of fulfilling that desire that exists in the world. And in doing so, they create a company, a business. What is a company? A company is people. A company is a grouping of people. Literally that word, company, right? We're keeping each other company. A company is not a factory. It's not a studio. Because two different sets of people could run the same factory. One would make it go out of business, and one would have it turn out stuff that's extremely useful to the entire world at a price that people want to pay and are super excited by. Same thing with a studio. You could have one set of people running a studio, and that same physical studio could do tremendously well or awfully, depending on who's there. So a big thing that a company is people. And I didn't just say person, people, because succeeding in business is a bit of a team sport. And a lot of us are solo kinds of people. And that's why we went into something like audio engineering, particularly if you're doing recording, mixing, mastering, that kind of thing. You probably have a pretty serious introverted streak. Same thing if you are a musician who's predominantly a songwriter or an arranger, you probably have some degree of an introverted streak. But there are ways to be an introverted person and capitalize on the efforts and talents of others in addition to your own to do more than you can ever do by yourself. So some of you are tuning out right now if you're super duper introverted, but don't worry, we're going to get into how to deal with this, because a company is a collection of people working together who have systems in place. And all systems are things they've figured out that work that they do again and again. And you've got to have systems in place for what you do. All right, I've talked about the general theory. Let's get into the practical. I'm going to give you three major ideas that you can take into your business right now. And the first one, I've started to hint on already, is the idea of outsourcing. But it's not only about outsourcing, getting other people to do work for you. It's about allowing yourself to do the things that you do best and removing from your plate the things that you hate or the things that just aren't that high value. Like if you're able to charge $40 an hour and there's certain tasks that you need done that could get done at $10 or $15 an hour, then you should probably pay someone $10 or $15 an hour to do those things so you can do the $40 an hour things. This becomes even more important when you start being capable of earning $50 and $75 and $80 and $100 an hour. Once you're really like smoking it as an entrepreneur, you don't even think about hourly earnings anymore. Maybe we can touch on that a little bit. But in my own business, you know, running Sonic Scoop, putting mastering aside for a second, I'm just going to give you the Sonic Scoop thing. One of the first people that I hired in to Sonic Scoop was our ad manager, Dan, who's an awesome, awesome person and does so many things that I'm terrible at doing because I hate doing them. Like dealing with spreadsheets and following up with all of our advertisers every month to tell them like how their ads are performing and stuff like that. Like I'm good enough at it that I know how to do it and I could like teach Dan how to do it, but he does all that stuff so I can do other stuff that is harder for me to hire in someone to do. It's hard for me to hire in someone to do the podcast. It's hard for me to go out there and get someone else to make courses for us, although we do that too, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. So there are things that you can start freeing yourself up for by hiring other people. Another thing that we hired in Sonic Scoop, one of our first hires, is a bookkeeper, someone to run our books, do our books, an accountant to help us do our taxes. So these are, again, are things that I can do, but I don't like doing. It's not fun for me to look at all of the nickels and dimes every day and file invoices and receipts and all that stuff. So I outsourced it to somebody else who does it. So I'm freed up to do other things, and other people in the company are freed up to do other things. And chances are that you're missing that in your own business. If you don't already have a studio manager or a studio assistant or someone to help you on these fronts, so you're not all just doing your own taxes all the time, trying to keep your books all the time. Because one of two things is going to happen in many cases. Well, one of three things. The first thing is that you just don't do them. Like you don't actually keep books. And that's a place that a lot of studios and self-employed audio people, musicians are in. They don't actually keep a set of books. So they don't actually know if they're making money or losing money or, you know, whether they're really positive for the year on the stuff that they're doing. Or they do it, but they don't do it as well as an outside professional could do it. Or, and this is the least likely thing, they actually do it and they do it as well as an outside professional could do it, but they're sucked away both, you know, emotionally and mentally and physically from doing the actual stuff they got into this for, which is doing the music-y stuff, doing the audio-y stuff, right? So this is a general concept and you can take this and apply it anywhere. So if you're mixing tracks Like, you want to be a mixer. This is something I've recommended on this podcast before, and I'll recommend again, even if you're doing this remotely with nobody around, it's increasingly a thing that people are doing, you can hire someone to do all of your session setup. Because think about it. When you mix a song, let's say if it took you 8 hours to mix a song, you know that like 2 of those hours were just getting the session set up. If it takes you 4 hours to mix a song, you know that an hour or two of those are getting everything set up properly. What if you had outsourced the whole session set up, getting things in your template, getting things neat, making sure all the plugins work properly, getting all the routing set up, and all that was handled for you in advance? And what if you were paying out anywhere from a low of 10% to a high of 20% of what you make to mix a track to have someone do that stuff for you? This obviously becomes really feasible if you're charging $1,000 for a mix, but it also is very feasible if you're charging $500 or $400 or even $250, because these things scale. And there's a lot of people where if you scale it down, I'm only charging $200, $250 for a mix, but you're paying out 10% of that or 15% of that. There are a lot of people who would love the opportunity to learn to see how decent tracks are recorded and put together and what you did to them before and after, who'd be thrilled for $20 or $25 or $40 to spend the hour it might take or the 2 hours it might take to set this up. And you're helping someone else develop skills and giving someone else an opportunity while you're freeing yourself up to do more sales work, to take on new clients, and just freeing up your mental creative bandwidth to actually mix. I've talked about that before. But there's so many areas you could do this. In my own studio, we have our studio manager, Diana, in my mastering business, where she takes care of all of the invoicing and client booking and communication with clients about who's paid, who hasn't paid, how's it going to be, much is it going to be for each of these tracks? Oh, we want to add on some more tracks. How does the price change? So I'm not having those conversations. And A, it's a better for me relationally with the client because I'm just talking to them about the creative stuff, but it's just a whole set of things that I don't have to keep track of or develop the or devote the mental space to, much less the actual time space to. So this general idea about outsourcing is a big one. And then the other thing that kind of dovetails into that is creating systems. When you're outsourcing, you get to end up coaching someone on how things should be done and creating systems that's going to make everything smoother for everyone. I never really learned how to really run cables really well, really neatly, really tightly in the studio until I'd been working for years professionally, but I decided I should get a gig as an assistant in a big fancy studio because I had gotten my start doing a lot of guerrilla recordings. And when I got that gig, the owner there, he didn't plug in any cables. He was in his probably late 40s, early 50s by then, but he would kind of watch me running cables and in a pretty good way just gave me advice about, hey, well, you know, there's kind of a trip hazard there. It looks kind of ugly. It's going to, it gives a, you know, just a cluttered vibe to the space. What if we ran it this way under a rug? What if these ran this way? What if you ran it in this order? And try to sit down with me and figure out a system that I could do, that I would enjoy doing, that would improve the results and make them faster. And that's one of the great things that you can do when you hire in other people. You get to step back from the tasks and actually observe how they're being done, coach someone on doing them even better in a way that's not just better for you because you're bossing them around, but it's better for that person so that they can execute better, faster, with more confidence. And you're helping people develop systems. Systems just being a repeated process you figured out works and you do again and again and again. And then since you're not in there addicted to doing the system one way, when things need to change, you can be nimble and you can zoom out and say, the system needs to change. We shouldn't be doing it this way again and again and again. There's new variables. You know, the landscape we live in has changed. There's new technology. You can be more nimble when you're able to kind of zoom back. So that's one big thing, the idea of bringing in outside people. But another way of working with outside people, and this is a big one that real business owners do, is arbitrage. And that sounds like a nasty word. It sounds like a nasty financial word. This is something that stockbrokers do, where they try to pull something over on somebody. Arbitrage. What arbitrage is, and this is something that's essential, I think, in business, is finding what one person is willing to pay and what another person is willing to sell for, and helping them connect with each other. And here's just one example off the top of my head. making beats, right? Say you're a producer who works with singers, and one of the best things you can do is coach singers. In your studio, you want to be there with them, helping them with their vocal performance, and they need to be hooked up maybe with pre-made tracks. Well, arbitrage would be that system of saying, here's someone over here who makes fully finished produced tracks who will sell them for, I'm just going to make up a number, $500. And here's someone over here who'd be willing to pay $1,000 for one of them. And you link them together and you take a bit of the spread. Now, that sounds awful because it sounds like you're being a middleman. And in a way, you are. But if you're being a middleman who's being a service provider, who's actually helping that person who wants to pay for the tracks have a much more seamless experience in finding and locating the tracks that are right for them, like you're doing a lot of this legwork for them, you're creating the relationships, you're finding the best people out there to do this work. And then you're taking them kind of a curated list of, hey, here's the stuff. And then you're acting as a broker there. You're actually adding value on both sides. You're being free marketing, in a sense, for the person selling the tracks. And you're being a free consultant, in a sense, for the person consuming the tracks. And the way that you're paid is on the gap. This sometimes will happen with some mastering clients of mine who are mixing engineers who will pay me to master their tracks on behalf of the client. Some of these people don't pad the cost at all, and they just do it as part of the service that they offer to their mixed clients. But some of them may pad the cost of my fee slightly. If mastering with me costs X number of dollars, it might cost X number of dollars plus 10%. But they are doing the whole thing of being the liaison between the mastering engineer and the client. So they don't have to get to know yet another engineer and, you know, manage expectations there and figure out, do I sync up with this person? And they're taking the brunt of that back and forth. And that could deserve having a, you know, slice of that process for you. So even when you're hiring out other people to do things, it should either A, make you more money, or B, make your life better. And that's the way that business people think. That I'm hiring someone, not just to give them money, yes, to give them money, but also because A, it makes my life better, makes my business better, and potentially makes me more money. And hopefully not just potentially, hopefully you bake in a degree of that to a lot of the things that you're hiring for. So this is another thing to think about as far as business. We've talked about outsourcing, finding others. Now there's this idea of arbitrage to a degree where outsourcing to other people pays for itself and makes everybody win. The person at the end who's buying the thing gets your help in navigating that process and gets like the extra white glove service from someone they know and trust and who's doing a lot of extra legwork for them. And the person on the other end who's selling that service is selling it to more people and getting the kind of free marketing of you being the bridge between them and potential clients. So that's another thing to think about. And then there is a third thing that business people and entrepreneurs do that regular self-employed people who are working in a job where they've hired themselves don't. And that third thing is inventing new products. And every time someone tells you no, that they don't want the product or service you offer, hey, my service is mixing tracks. No, I don't want that. I want to mix myself. You can say, all right, well, I'm just going to keep on this niche and find other people to mix tracks for. And that's totally fine. That's a valid thing to do. But another thing you could do is get curious and say, why? Oh, well, I think it would be fun to learn how to mix. I like the idea of doing audio stuff, and I actually want to get good at doing audio stuff, and someday I'd like to be the person mixing for other people. And that's the answer that some people will give. So you could see this as competition. This person is trying to Turk my gerb. You could see it that way. But you could also see it very, very differently. You could see it as an opportunity and say, oh, you want to mix stuff, and you want to get good at audio. Can I help you with that? Do you need someone to master that track for you? I do mastering. This is not inventing a product right here, but it's offering another product or service. So that's one potential. But another thing you could do is say, oh, I can help you with a coaching session on your mixing. I've been mixing for, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. You've been mixing for 5 months, 10 months, 15 months. If you're not happy with the results and where you're getting, and you want to run this stuff by somebody, why don't we have a session where we listen to all your stuff and I'll give you my feedback, the stuff that I'm hearing that I think could be improved, or you tell me the things that you're struggling with, it don't sound right to you. And I'll help give you ideas about how to fix those that then you can take into your own mixes. And you could be billing a similar rate that you would for mixing for a coaching session, helping someone else figure out to mix. And I do this. I do coaching sessions for people. I do coaching sessions a lot for people who are mixing their own tracks, producing their own tracks. But even as a mastering engineer, I'd be happy to do it for people who try to master tracks for others. In fact, I have an entire course. This is a product that I've invented, a course about mastering. You can get it at Mastering Demystified, where I teach people everything that I know about mastering. I don't hide anything in that course. I'm trying to be useful to other people. And they are in turn useful to me. So that's another thing you can do. Another product just to invent right here from people who want to mix themselves and you want to be the mixer person is, what if you were a finisher for them? Not mixing necessarily, but what about like pre-mastering? This is a service that some people could or would do. Hey, give me your stems. In addition to just coaching you through what you could do, I'll help you finish your mix from the stems. Maybe I have this fancy analog hardware sitting here and you know that you don't feel confident in your stuff because you think it has to be run through fancy analog stuff to sound great. And I'm going to run it through my fancy analog stuff and hopefully add some additional value there, helping you finish the mixes you've created just off of your stems and helping you do final sweetening before it goes off to mastering. So there's another product to invent. So that's the thing. Thing number three that I think is big is being nimble, being curious. When people don't want your services, if you run into enough problems of people not wanting your services, thinking, well, maybe there's something else I should be offering. Maybe there's something else that the world wants even more. And I've just given you a few examples right there. You could, taking this full circle to the example I gave in the beginning, be the person who says, hey, I could be your virtual mix assistant, setting up your sessions for you so you don't have to do that work, so that you can focus on the creative parts and I'll get the technical parts out of the way. So those are the three big things. Let's just review them real quick and we'll call this a day for this week's episode, because this is turning into a slightly longer one. I'm trying to keep them shorter these days, but it's a deep topic and something you really got to change your mindset on. Big thing number one is outsourcing or bringing in other people to help you, so that you can focus on the things that A, you enjoy the most, and B, that you bring the most value to. Because there's certain things that you're doing that are maybe worth $40 and $50 and $80 and $150 and $200 an hour potentially, or more even. But if you're doing all the $10 an hour and $15 an hour and $20 an hour tasks, you don't get to focus as much on those things. You also might not do them as well as someone who is an expert in that area. When I think of examples of this, bookkeeping is a good one, and sales is potentially a good one for some people. Doing your taxes, that's another one where bringing in outside help might dramatically improve the results. But even if you're better at the thing than the people that you're hiring, even that can be an improvement if it's A, improving the quality of your life, and B, improving your bottom line by outsourcing the low-value things so you can do more of the highest-value things. The other big thing we talked about was arbitrage, this idea, and I'm using this nasty, smelly, dirty word for it because you've got to stop having that reaction to nasty, smelly, dirty, vilified words. Arbitrage is finding someone who has a need and someone else who can service that need and helping bring them together and helping potentially even lead them through that process and make that process more seamless and better for both parties. And if you're doing arbitrage, you know, in the technically correct way, you're taking a cut of that spread. Are you being a middleman? Is that a nasty word? Maybe it is a nasty word and maybe that's what you're being. But if you're making people's lives better, and you're leaving them better off, how is that anything other than good? And then the last area we discussed was inventing new products. And I think that's absolutely huge. And I think that the most important time to recognize that this needs to be done is when you've gotten a lot of no's. Because the people who are saying no to you on the services you're offering, they're probably saying yes to other things. What are those things they would say yes to? What are the things they really need help with? And I think you'd be surprised if you stop complaining about, oh, these people, they want to mix their own stuff, or they want to master their own stuff, or they want to produce their own stuff. Okay, they have that need taken care of. They want to do it themselves. But there's other needs that come up because they're taking care of that need for themselves. There's other things they need help with, and you can be the person helping them. So I hope that was useful for you. Big shout out and thanks to this week's sponsors, Soundtoys, making some of my favorite creative effects in the known universe. Try out anything they make for free for 30 days at soundtoys.com. If you're listening to this as it comes out right now in the month of December 2020 or January 2021, there is a big holiday sale going on right now, so definitely check it out, soundtoys.com. Also, big thanks to Focusrite, making some of the best audio interfaces out there. Check them out, focusrite.com. Talking into a lovely claret interface right now, hasn't given me a lick of trouble, sounds great and extremely well built, make great entry level stuff and great high end stuff too. Also, a big shout out and thanks to Steinberg, who also make great interfaces, but are probably even better known for a whole bunch of great DAWs like Cubase, Nuendo, their mastering platform, WaveLab, their music notation software, Dorico, and a whole bunch of other great stuff. Check out anything they make over at steinberg.net. Remember to hit like and subscribe if you haven't already. Hit that notifications bell to make sure you don't miss any more great episodes like this one. Also, if you want some free stuff from me, first of all, you can always go to sonicscoop.com/contest, where we give away more than $100,000 worth of free gear every single year. There's probably a contest going on right now, whenever you're listening to this. But in addition, you can get my free workshop on mixing. It's called The 5 Habits of Truly Great Mixers over at sonicscoop.com/mixhabits. That's sonicscoop.com/mixhabits. But if you've made it this far in this episode, it seems like you're ready to get into the mindset of planning and systems and structure. So I'm really going to recommend another free thing I have for you. It is my pre-production guide and checklist. Check that out at sonicscoop.com/checklist. That's sonicscoop.com/checklist. This gives you an overall guide and a point-by-point checklist for that I think will really help guide you through any music production projects you're going to do from the beginning all the way through the end, making sure you're not missing anything and making sure that you're kind of staying ahead of the curve as things come up. If you're more into mastering, I got a free mastering workshop for you. That is at sonicscoop.com/mastering101. Man, I shouldn't give you so many options at the end. They say in business, I'm supposed to give you one thing to click on, but I'm terrible at doing that. There's so many things that I think we do that are awesome, and I hope you enjoy one of them. Well, this has been Justin Coletti of Sonic Scoop. Thanks for hanging out with me for this week's episode of the Sonic Scoop podcast. See you next time.